Will you bow your heads with me before we begin? Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you speak through me, that those who need to hear what it is that you need to say, hear it through your word, and I just ask that you're with our congregation, ask with everybody who's meeting with you through this Sabbath day, that we are blessed and that you're with us. Again, I pray for those who are struggling with being sick. You know the end from the beginning, and I just pray that your will be done in all of our lives. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to talk about footsteps of Jesus. And you're going to see pictures of a trip that we took to the Holy Lands in 2019, at the beginning of 2019. We all know how that 2019 ended. You will see us in some of the pictures, but my goal is that you see Jesus, that you see the places that he ministered and that he gave his life for us 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to try to show you him through the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I hope everybody has their Bibles, because this is going to be a very biblically based sermon. Those of you who are watching online, grab a Bible and join us. All right, the story of the footsteps of Jesus begins in Bethlehem. And the picture that you see here is the hills of Bethlehem. This is where the shepherds would have been. This is where the angels would have announced Christ's birth, would have been in this area. And as we were in Bethlehem, this is a mosaic of what took place in Bethlehem. We all know this story, most of us, at least, because of Christmas time. As we go on, though, in Jesus's life, short life, actually, with us, we come to the Jordan River. And this is the closest site that they believe that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So let's take a look at that little, let's take a little snapshot look at this story. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. And it reads, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So this gives you an idea of the area that this baptism would have taken place. Let's move on now, and this is the Mount of the Precipice. After Jesus' baptism, he eventually went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and Nazareth is on the right side. You can see it kind of off in the distance, but let's get more of an idea what happens at the Mount of the Precipice. So if you'll turn with me to Luke now, Luke 4, 16 and 17. Luke 4, 16 and 17, and then we're going to go 28 to 30. So Luke 4, 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now we're going to skip over to 28 to 30 in the interest of time. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. This gives you an idea of where they would have taken him. This is where they believe they took him, and he passed through them. It was a powerful place when you think of that story. But the Mount of the Precipice. All right, we're going to continue now. And we're going to go to Capernaum. Jesus' ministry was centered in the town of Capernaum, and Capernaum was by the Sea of Galilee. So let's see what happened there. Here we see him in the synagogue where Jesus would have taught. It's located by the Sea of Galilee. And let's turn to Mark this time. Mark 1, 21 to 22. Mark 1, 21 to 22. Then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. One of the things that I thought was interesting when we were in the synagogue was they showed us the layers. So over time, as in most cities, the city continues to be built on itself. But they do believe that this bottom layer would have been during Jesus' time. All right. Now we are going to, in the same area, this is where they believe Peter's mother-in-law lived. And it's a place, we are confident that this is one of the places that Jesus visited. Many churches have been built on top of the holy sites, but we are sure that this is, well, quite sure that this is where he would have been. So let's take a look at that account, and that's Mark 1, 29 to 31. Mark 1, 29 to 31. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. I've always thought she's a pretty amazing woman. You're just so sick, close to death, and yet you're thinking service. This is the Sea of Galilee from the Mount of the Beatitudes. So we're standing on the Mount of the Beatitudes looking at the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus would have fed the 5,000 and delivered the Sermon on the Mount. So they had memorial to the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves and fish. So let me set the stage about the feeding of the 5,000. There is a great multitude, and they've been with Jesus all day. They've been listening to him, and he is moved with compassion because he wants them to have something to eat. I really appreciate that about Jesus. He wants them to have something to eat. But all that they have is these five loaves and two fish. So let's look at the account in Matthew. This is going to be Matthew 14, 19 to 21. Matthew 14, 19 to 21. All right. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. It's an incredible miracle to me, and this is a dedication to that miracle. All right, and we're going to move on now. This was in a museum, and in this museum was a fishing boat that is believed to have been from Jesus's time. It's pretty rickety, so I'm assuming it was sturdier back then, but they found it and they've been able to date it close to the time that he was on this earth. So let's take a look at Luke 8, 22 to 25. Luke 8, 22 to 25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" You know, we're in a stormy time right now, and that faith is so important, and it seems like it's somewhere out there. I can identify with where they must have been coming from. This story speaks for itself in Matthew 9, 20 to 22. Matthew 9, 20 to 22, if you'll turn with me there. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. And this is a painting depicting that time when she touches the hem of his garment in the crowd. Believe it or not, this is the Pool of Bethesda. It's changed over time, obviously. But this is the site of where it was. And if you'll turn with me to John 5, 6 to 9. I think this is just an amazing story. All of these are amazing. You would never be able to choose your favorite. But this is one of the amazing ones. John 5, 6 to 9. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. There's some significance there. He could have just said that was another day, but that day was the Sabbath day. All right, let's move on. This is outside the Eastern Gate, viewing it from the Garden of Gethsemane. And you can see how in the middle of the picture, it's blocked off. You can see where you go through the gate. And this is where we believe Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on the donkey. So turn with me now to Matthew 21, 7 to 9. Matthew 21, 7 to 9. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Such an amazing time to reflect back on. But as we know, it feels like it's the story of many of our lives. It feels like we're up on a mountaintop and then things don't go as planned. This is one of the stories. We certainly know the end of the story. But before we get there, this is the Temple Mount. And this was amazing coming into Jerusalem, seeing this scene. The Temple Mount has two holy sites for both Jews and Muslims. So what you're looking at is the Dome of the Rock Mosque. It was built in the 7th century by the Muslims. And this was one of many interesting things that I found when we went. One of the members of our group, not anybody can go into the dome, but one of the members of our group was allowed to. And this is what you see inside the dome. This is inside the Dome of the Rock Mosque. This is the actual rock that Jews and Christians believe that Isaac was about to be sacrificed on by Abraham. Now, that's not new to any of us. What is new and was surprising to me is that Muslims, on the other hand, believe Ishmael was about to be sacrificed. They both believe the same story, but with two different brothers. And here we are at another key site. This is a site the Jews consider to be the most holy. This is the Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall. It was the western support wall for the Temple Mount. It was built by King Herod in 20 BC. It survived the destruction of the temple by the Romans in 70 AD. So it's kind of the only surviving, and it's a very sacred place. Men and women are separate. They read scripture. They pray. They put pieces of scripture in the rock, in the wall. So they tuck pieces of scripture in the wall, in the cracks of the wall. And I thought it was interesting that they rock back and forth. And I wasn't sure why. And that was to keep their blood circulating so they don't faint. So very practical reason. Here's Here's another picture of it at night. You can get an idea of how big, majestic it must have been back in the day. It still is today. This I thought was interesting. These are the Orthodox Jews. They are the most conservative and strict sect of the Jews. We were in a hotel over Sabbath, and two of the elevators went on to Shabbat mode, which means Orthodox Jews don't do the work of pushing the buttons, so the elevator stops at every floor. And yes, Wayne and I were like on the seventh floor. So the hat that he is wearing is called the shrimel. It's made from either beaver or mink, and it's usually a gift from a bride, from the bride's family. It's worn after marriage on Shabbat or Sabbath and on Jewish holidays. And we now come to the Garden of Gethsemane. I found this to be one of the most meaningful places, since it's where Jesus was in so much agony over the decision to save us. If you'll turn with me to Luke 22, 40 to 47. I love hearing the rustling of the Bibles. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptations." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. And just after that, after his betrayal, he was taken to Caiaphas' house. These are the actual steps. This is one of the places that they feel very sure. So many places they think, and they've built, you know, things above it, big mosques and all kinds of things. Many places have become very commercialized. But these are the actual steps Jesus would have taken to Caiaphas' house after his arrest. It's on the site of Old Jerusalem, across from the Garden of Gethsemane. So from where I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can look across and you can see where Caiaphas' house was. Let's look at that. Luke 22, the same place you were. 22:54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. So this is that house that they are... this is going up to the house. This is actually where the house would have been as you climb the steps. This is now a church, but it's the site of where Caiaphas' house was, and it's where the Sanhedrin met and found him guilty of blasphemy. Jesus was then taken to Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod, who returned him to Pilate, where he was convicted and condemned to death. I'm at the Lion's Gate, which is part of the Via Dolorosa, which is the beginning of the pathway Christ took from prison to crucifixion. This is actually something that we saw in a museum. It's a nail driven through a heel bone, which gives credence to the cruel act of being crucified. The nail was bent presumably by a knot in the wood, so they were not able to pull it out of the heel. You know, it's something that we all take for granted that he was crucified. But to think of how cruel it is witnessing something like this again. And from there, he went to the garden tomb. And this is typical of what a tomb would have looked like back then. If you will come with me to Matthew 27, 57 to 60. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. So this kind of gives you, I don't know about you, many of us remember things in many ways, and I'm very visual. So it helped me a lot to have a visual understanding of what it is that was happening. And this is the Sea of Galilee, where many things took place, such as Jesus preparing breakfast for the disciples after he arose. So come with me to John 21:12. We're going to read just the first part. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Again, I love that. I love that taking care of our physical needs is so important. Come and eat breakfast. And then let's skip to 15 to 17, which is what we read for our scripture reading. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." We are at the end of our journey here, being invited by Jesus today to minister to the needs of others. Things haven't changed after all of this time. We are still asked to minister to others around us. All right, will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you so much. We know that you've asked us to minister to others, and I just ask that you give each one of us understanding of what that means for each of us. That may be through prayer, that may be through acts of service, it may be through words of encouragement. But I just ask that we minister to others and that through your Holy Spirit, you help us know what is the most meaningful way. Thank you so much for all that you've done for each and every one of us. And I just ask your blessing on us on this Sabbath as we go our separate ways. In Christ's name, amen.
For our closing hymn, we will turn to page number 457. I love to tell the story, and we will sing all verses. Please stand.
Heavenly Father, we do want to tell the story. We want to tell a story. It's so exciting to know the story and to understand the story and to tell others about the story. And I just pray that you give us the courage and the wisdom to do just that. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Amen.